small,
کوچک,
smaller,
کوچکتر,
smallest,
کوچکترین.
Six birds to Persia.
I'm very lucky to have an interview with Dr. Pari Esfandiari, PhD, a social entrepreneur and internet pioneer. Her work has gained her international acclaim as an authority on Iranian popular culture, and her articles have appeared in Playboy, Blogger, and Huffington Post, amongst others. Her interviews have been broadcast on several American stations, including Voice of America, and her work has been showcased by UNESCO, and she frequently speaks at universities and women's organizations. Pari left Iran after finishing her degree as a doctorate from Oxford Brookes Uni in sustainable business and is an avid environmentalist. Is that all true, Pari?
Yes, it is.
Thanks for joining us today. You first came to our attention through the website IranDoc, which is something you set up, wasn't it, to bring about some disambiguation of the voices of Iranian females?
Absolutely. I started IranDoc in year 2002. It was following a trip I had to Iran after many years of leaving Iran. So when I went back and I saw the situation of Iranian women, and I felt that their stories are not really told as it is, and I was fascinated with the internet and the way it could empower people, so I put two and two together and I decided to launch IranDoc.
Were you feeling frustrated by the way Western media was presenting Iranian women as well?
Mainly with that, because I lived for many years in England, in London actually, and many times I was asked questions which were, you know, sort of strange, showing that how little understanding of Iranian women or overall from Iran is within the mindset of Western, sort of society. And then when I went back, I realized myself being for such a long time away, even I am not aware of what is going on in contemporary Iran. So I decided it's time for the world to really hear the voice from inside.
So many of the writers of Iran Doc are actually from Iran?
Yes, majority are Iranian women. We have over 80 writers, some inside Iran, some outside, most of them frequently moving between the Iran and outside Iran.
There must be some kind of dialogue developing between the writers and the readers with such an international concoction you've put together.
Yes, actually that was the main objective, to create a dialogue, not only among Iranians, but among Iranians and the world at large. And I think on that sense we have succeeded to a large extent.
How do the writers have dialogue with the readers?
Well, the website is interactive, so people could express their views on any article they read, and also they can actually submit articles, they can write. There are a variety of sections which is open to, you know, general public to make comments, ask questions, and participate. Or they can reflect their views directly on the website without censor. But that's not all we do. Our articles also is published in a variety of other platforms, and also I myself try to reach different media and express the views from IranDoc in different media.
Yes, because you're frequently talking at universities, and I heard there's IranDoc TV.
At the moment we don't have it. We used to have radio and TV programs. Right now it's not. But yes, frequently we do that. And also I've been interviewed many places. Our articles go, for example, in many social networks, in Dig, for example. We try to experience with many different mediums in different ways.
Did you say in Dig?
Dig, yes. It's a platform where you can insert the articles. And they can publish it again for, you know, people to view it. And if they like it, they can, you know, promote it.
So have you had any kind of feedback from Iran in terms of the government or anything about the website?
Well, yes, we have a very strong feedback. We have been filtered for the last 2 years. So that tells us something, but I don't think it was actually necessarily directed at IranDoc. It was among many websites that are discussing women issues that has been filtered. Even, I can tell you, since a week ago now, the word woman officially in Iranian TV has been replaced with the word family.
I did read this, but I actually didn't believe it.
Yeah, unfortunately this has happened. So in terms of search, many of the Iranian internet providers are filtering the word woman. But then people know how to reach us, and we receive a lot of views and reviews from Iran, and many of my writers are in Iran.
How does it make you feel to know that the word woman on state TV is now family?
Well, strange enough, I was not surprised by it, because we have to see how women has been defined within Iran. But as a woman, I do like to stand for it, against it. And the truth of the matter is Iranian women inside Iran are very strong, and they're standing up to many obstacles which has been placed in their way, and they continue to do so.
But it's kind of depressing, isn't it, that things have got to this stage?
Well, I must say that when I look at what Iranian women has achieved in spite of what they have been against, I find very proud of them, and I think that it is actually very inspiring in many ways. Because don't forget, right after revolution, there was a lot of pressure to completely remove women from public space, and they have never been as active as today in public space. So it's very inspiring the way they have stood up for their rights, and they continue to do so.
Something you've already touched on is that these kind of headlines coming out of Iran create all this ambiguity about what it is to be an Iranian woman, because all we hear about is what the state is doing to women. We don't often hear about how women are living despite the state.
I am very glad that you brought this issue up, because yes, unfortunately, the Iranian government tries to portray women as a dutiful housewife or mother, and, you know, in a very specific way, and also a nation of devotees, which is not true. On the other hand, the Iranian activists outside and inside also focus only on the problems that women are facing. But the truth of the matter is that there is a large segment of society which are full of life and love and hope, and they're living their life. And they're struggling, they are fighting in their own ways with the limits on their life. But nevertheless, they're living the life at full. And that picture is not shown properly to the Western world. And that's basically what I try to do, because my job is not necessarily just to focus on the women's rights while I focus on that, but a large part of my work is to focus on contemporary culture in Iran. And that contemporary culture is very lively, very, very inspiring, very interesting.
Yes, apparently your current focus is the role of media and women in preventing war.
Yes, right now I believe that the most important issue in this section of our history is to promote peace as much as we could. And because I do believe that nothing comes out of war but evil. And I think that Iran is evolving towards a society that could embrace democracy sometime in future, and I think that war would prevent that progress.
So you could actually see a solution for Iran, because until now it's been a country of massive polarities. You know, one moment they're all wearing mini skirts and boob tubes, and the next moment they're all demanding to wear the chador, and women are inflicting this law on each other. So
yes.
How do you see that working out in democracy?
You see, Iran is a complex society. It's a society which is unsure of its own identity. It's ambivalent about its moral values and social norms. It's a country which is torn between tradition and modernity. So we should not forget this problem. I become very disappointed when I see that the media, among them a lot of Iranians, portray country one way or another, and that's nothing further than the truth. It's a country which embraces both of that. The tradition and modernity live side by side. But there has been a point of time when they managed to live peacefully, and they are living right now peacefully side by side. So if we take the government out of equation, people are peacefully respecting one another's opinion. And I think that's where the hope is, and that's where the solution is.
Well, despite the peace, which is a good thing, of course, there are a lot of people disappearing, people taken to prison, people, you know, betraying each other because of their ideas of higher values.
Absolutely. I mean, when we are promoting peace, in fact, we have to be very careful. And yes, Iranian government have violated human rights and continues to violate human rights consistently. So that's an area that we always have our differences, and we always should fight for the human right and women right and variety of things which are taking place. Iran still has laws which is primitive, stoning women, stoning people, or, you know, variety of other things which are happening. But I personally see right now the focus should be on the peace. In other words, what I'm trying to say is war is not the solution to those.
If we are familiar with Iranian culture, or we have any compassion towards the people in these times when they're undergoing so many difficulties, how would we be able to help such a country from here?
Number one suggestion I have is educate one another and promote peace. Iran is very wary of foreign interferences. You have to realize that our history, our current history, is filled by the interference from Western governments, including British and United States, which has not helped to for democratic mindset to grow in Iran. Often they have helped authority and governments to seize power in the name of social progress and national security. So Iran, the country right now, feels threatened again. And don't misunderstand Iran. If a threat from outside begins, people will unite with the government. So I think the best thing West could do for Iran, if Western people are really concerned from promoting democracy in Iran, is to keep their hands off and promote dialogue with Iran and help the civil society, the cultural movement, to progress.
So that might boil down to going to see your MP or your local councillor and ask them to promote peace towards Iran when they're in government.
Yeah, I cannot emphasize more than that. People could talk through their ballot boxes, and they can talk through by educating others. But one thing I do like to emphasize, Fari, that war is an evil. Nothing good comes out of war. We have seen it, what happened, what it has done to Iraq. We have seen what it has done in Afghanistan. War is evil, and in the name of human rights, we cannot start to fight with another country. We cannot go to war with a country to impose democracy there. If we really want Iran to progress, we have to start a dialogue. We got to let this country to evolve into democratic mindset. Culturally, we have still problems. The country needs a while. In Europe, it took long time to for the mindset to sink in the minds of people, to be established. We got to allow that in Iran. We cannot impose it.
That's true. I mean, only 400 years ago, we were burning women for cooking with herbs.
Bravo. Yes. You know, and see how it has evolved from there. So it just takes time. And I have seen Iranians outside, you know, within Iranian community. I still see that the culture is chauvinistic. Look at the Iranian media, even outside the country. Look at the Iranian community. And so it needs time. It's not just a matter of a government. What we need to do is, with the government, yes, we need to constantly fight against violation of human rights. But at the same time, we got to help the culture to grow and evolve, to come to the point that it respects human rights and it's kind of the democratic mindset settles within the minds of people. And I like also to emphasize that Iran is an ancient civilization. We were one of the ancient civilizations where we embraced the human right. And it's appalling that in this stage there are problems, but these are reality of the time, and we got to accept it, and we got to let the society evolve the way it needs to do.
Yes, and one part of that evolution would be things that are happening on the internet. I mean, in the last series of Six Pillars to Persia, we interviewed the author of We Are Iran, the book of blogs. I'm sure you've read it.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was a very interesting blossoming of this anonymous identity on the internet. Very poetic, very hopeful, very discursive, the Iranian blogs. And now with your website, I'm sure that's also helping. I'm not surprised that UNESCO has highlighted it as one of its 34 selected websites.
Thank you. Actually, internet has changed the equation. You know, it's empowered the civil society. And people are constantly on internet. They're connecting. They are interacting with one another. So you cannot anymore to sort of separate and isolate a culture. Iranian youth are constantly watching satellite TV. They are on internet. They're aware of what's happening to the rest of the world. I must say, they're are fed up with social restriction. They are the ones who are bearing the brunt of the country's chronic unemployment. But at the same time, they see what is happening, what is given to the excitement and opportunities that denied from them. So this youth is angry, and they're trying to demand their rights, and nothing could stop them, you know.
I suppose that brings us on to your 5-page article in Playboy magazine. I was quite shocked at the beginning to think that someone who had studied business ethics and fought for the empowerment of women would write in Playboy. But once I read it, I could clearly see why you did that.
Yes, and I like to explain why I chose Playboy. Beyond the fact that Playboy over there, it's now, I think, a century old and always produced high-quality articles. But also I do believe that, you know, if you continue to writing, for example, in Guardian, while it's important to continue, but readers of the Guardian are a specific type of people and you can continue talking to them. But I think it's also important to take your message to so many different audiences and let them to hear these voices, let them to hear a different sort of point of view and change the mindset. If we really, really want to influence, we need to go to so many different platforms, and that's what I'm doing. It was interesting article. It was about erotic sex video which broke on the internet, about an Iranian ascending actress. But what I find very interesting was the fact that this DVD in the black market sold about $4 million, something unheard of in the history of Iranian cinema. So that's where I thought that shows the extent of social problem, and that's where the angle I took on that story.
Well, it's a good subject to talk across between two countries on. I mean, sex is a massive equaliser. In your article, you mentioned that a very religiously adherent woman had said that she had seen the video with her husband to verify what her husband had said in it was true, and that she wanted to confirm what her husband said and then therefore judge Ebrahami, this actress, about whether she had transgressed or not.
Yes, and even she went further. Another thing she said was very interesting, and it wasn't just her, a lot of people. What I find basically interesting was there was a lot of sympathy for her. However, majority felt comfortable first to victimize her and then sympathize with her.
Mm.
So the mindset still is there. Still, this community was threatened, even in a more progressive segment of society. They were threatened by a woman who is clearly enjoying sex. But when they took that away and when they victimized her, then there was a lot of sympathy for her.
So there was a point in the video where she's crying, and a lot of the viewers, especially the men, you said, thought that she was in tears and therefore felt sorry for her. And it was brought up in the article, it's easier for someone from Iranian culture to feel sympathy for a female in that position rather than see her enjoying herself.
Exactly, because, and that tells you, you know, there I try to look at different layers or unlayer the culture. And if you look at it, the person who claims that he's very progressive, still the minute it comes to the sex between a man and a woman, she tries to see her as a passive, as an object. So she was this victimized object who was forced to have sex, and then, you know, therefore he felt sympathy for her. But hardly any of them, we had one or two who felt that, okay, she was clearly enjoying her sex and she was having a great sex and still sympathized with her. But that's...
Because it's ruined her career.
It did ruin her career, yes. We don't know how this happened. We don't know that... Because first there was the allegation that it was her boyfriend who distributed the DVD. Then the story became that somebody stole it from her computer after the boyfriend actually left the country. So it's not quite clear how it broke into the internet and to the hand of people. But yes, it destroyed her career, and she was banned from acting in TV.
She's lucky to have got off with that. I mean, it could have been jail or worse.
Well, still, it's not, her fate is not quite clear. So we don't know really what's going to happen in long term. At the moment, it's kind of quiet, and not much has happened. But I must admit that there has been a lot of DVDs. This became famous because it was the face of a famous person. There was a process of DVDs and videos coming on the internet, and that's quite understandable because the privacy of people are so shielded and so different from their public life that there has been an interest in poking their nose into privacy of other people.
I think that's an age-old problem.
Well, there it has gone beyond that.
Yes.
It has gone sort of vicious.
Yes, it's a massive judgmental movement, I think, especially with the Muslims. You know, they feel that you've got this obligation to be morally upright and hold your place in society, and therefore your neighbours can judge you when you transgress that.
Exactly, exactly. So basically, it puts the duty on every Muslim that if they see that somebody is, you know, behaving in a manner which is not morally correct, to go and, you know, mention and correct the person. So that's kind of opens the door right there.
There was a story that you talked about, Parry, in the article, which really interested me. It was of 13 high school girls who were published on the internet having a good time with their without their hijabs on, and then they all committed suicide for fear of what their fathers would do. Was that covered by the Western media?
I myself didn't hear about it at the time. I heard about it when I was doing the article, and so it wasn't covered the way it should have been. Even in Iran, I spoke to some people and they didn't know about it. So I don't think it was covered and publicized that much. So, and also I didn't have access to a lot of information about it. The information was old and gone when my journalists were trying to dig it further and bring more information. So we couldn't really have our hand. We had the headline and some limited writing on it. We couldn't really investigate it deeply, which I wanted to do.
Yes, because it seems strange 13 girls would all commit suicide together.
Yeah, it sounds very, very...
dodgy.
Yes, but I never managed. I tried very hard to get more information on that. I never managed. We had the headline and the news source. More than that, we couldn't get.
There's a massive double fear with women with this whole sex and moral transgression, because they seem to fear their parents, their family, so much as to commit suicide for fear of them. And also the law is so much more lenient towards men. Like, there was a man who beat his daughter to death because he thought she was the main protagonist in an internet film with a footballer. And when they found out that he was actually incorrect about his assumptions on his daughter, he only got 3 years in prison.
Yes, there is no denying the fact that the law in Iran treats women as half of a man, and in many ways violates women's rights. I mean, that's clear there. And as a result, honor killing happens. Not many, not much, but it still happens.
Honor suicide seems to be the...
You see, there is an awful lot of variety of things happening. Depression, because of the way women are treated or regarded. Especially, we got to look at different segments of the society. In certain segments, it happens far more than other segments of the society.
Yeah, but it seems that the richer side of society are enjoying themselves quite a lot.
There is a segment of society which is more educated, more sort of open-minded, and they treat their women more or less equal. So also the law and regulation doesn't treat women equally. This is one of the cases that the society is more advanced than the government. So usually in every country, the government is there to protect the rights of the civil society. There it's sort of other way around. So the government and the laws and regulations behind, and people are more advanced. So they protect themselves. Like, for example, right now it's quite common for women when they marry, they ask for their rights to be written. So they force their husband to give them the right of divorce, the right of custody of children, and a variety of other rights just when they're marrying, because the government doesn't give them those rights.
So they do a kind of prenuptial agreement?
Exactly. Prenuptial agreements are very, very common in Iran, but it's not necessarily the financial aspect, it's the rights reached from women by law. So they try to obtain that.
Well, another really interesting part of your article was that you had some of your journalists go to these anonymous sex parties.
Yes, and I must emphasize that, you know, that sex party was sort of eye-opener even for myself. But I got to emphasize that by no means these are not norms. These only could act as a counterpart to that fundamentalist facade that the government and Western media shows us. I'm not claiming all over Iran are sex parties, no, but it happens. Not unheard of. It's not impossible. These things are happening, but they're just the counterpart. It's not norm.
But it's still interesting to see people managing to live and have this hal, this fun that they're seeking so much, any means possible.
Yes, actually, it's very interesting. When you go to Iran, I was there in year 2000, and you find this energy, this hunger for life, as though they feel that this has been denied for them, and they're hungry, and they want to embrace the life. So, as somebody who lived most of her life in West, I couldn't even compare myself to them. The way that every minute of life they wanted to embrace the life and they wanted to enjoy it and take full advantage of it. I don't think we appreciate the life the way most people do in Iran.
So it was interesting also talking about these sex parties where you brought up the fact that it wasn't really about the sex. I mean, they could go to a prostitute. They're so accessible and they're so cheap in Iran. They could also have these temporary marriages, the segre. So they could have sex anytime they wanted it. The fun is missing from it. So the party gets this kind of atmosphere where there's the risk, the edge, the actual happening of two people meeting and both consenting. And that's something that they are being deprived of.
Precisely. You know, as I said, Iranian youth, they see what's going on in the rest of the world. They are well aware of the opportunities and lifestyle, which the rest of world is enjoying, and they are not, they were supposed, I think when revolution happened, I think the government focused on this new generation, and don't forget, Iran has one of the youngest population in the world. By two-thirds of the country, I believe, I think maiden ages under 25 and two-thirds of population under 30. So this young, huge crowd were supposed to be believers, to believe in the ideology of Islam. And the irony is that they're very skeptical about afterlife promises. They really don't believe in it. So they believe there is a life right now and denied from them, and they want it in any price to embrace it and enjoy it.
But it's just a shame that, you know, these parties are happening in houses where they have to have about 20 bedrooms and you have to pay to go to the party. And then if you get arrested, the kids that you were interviewing said it was fine because they would just get $100 fine and their parents would pay. And they were able to say the government is an irrelevant nuisance. That was one of the quotes, because they could afford to have this lifestyle. What about the poorer people who can't access these kind of things?
Well, I think equality, you see, the sex party we talked about and need for 20 rooms, etc. It's a access, which it's a excessive lifestyle, which happens in a very, very short sort of segment of society. But that doesn't apply to majority of society. But simple gathering, simple enjoying communication, simple being together, it really crosses the borders. You don't need to have houses with 20 rooms in order to have a simple getting together. The problem, I think, is the laws and the culture, because in many segments of society, the culture doesn't allow them. See, I was giving talk in recently in UCLA when a woman from the audience stood up and said that the panel was discussing the laws in Iran, and I was emphasizing the culture, and she stood up and she said that, you know, when I wanted to have a divorce, I didn't have problem with the government. I had problem with my father and my mother and with my brother, and I have to fight so hard, and finally when I had my divorce, I have to leave the country because the society wouldn't accept me. The society I was living in wouldn't accept me as a single woman to live there. So we have to realize that yes, we have a government, but we have also a culture, and these two needs side by side to change.
Dr. Pari Esfandiari, thank you very much for joining us on Resonance.
Thank you so much, Pari, for the opportunity to talk to your listeners.
You're welcome. I look forward to reading your stuff on Iran Docht. I should clarify, Iran Docht is spelled IranDokht.com.
Small.
Kuchak.
Smaller.
Kuchaktar.
Smallest.
Kuchaktari.
Six birds to pleasure.